This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 25th of April, 1963. The title of this lecture is Finding Goals. This tape is 72 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
You keep that up, I'll feel you're glad to see me.
Gee whiz.
All right, what is this, 25th of April, AD 13, and St. Hill Special Briefing Course? All right. Well, we're at that time of Scientology when the gates are crashing open, and open sesames are occurring all over the place. And the reasons why it has not been easy to get a PC rocket reading or started down the channel, gradually emerging, I'm doing an even more fundamental goals pattern. And 15th goal, 305 trillion. And the early track it's much greater in magnitude of charge. Late track, you get one of these RIs and you pull all the black cotton wool off the top of it and take a look at it. It's be about 2-3 inches in diameter. Quite tiny. That's all late banks and that sort of thing that have crushed in on it, all that sort of thing. One of these earlier track ones and so forth. You know what a mine looks like? One of these big spherical mines. It's about the size of it. Right in that order of magnitude. And charge is about 100 to 1 over late track. Tells you why you shouldn't be pulling a PC through one of these early goals, even if you get your hands on it. You get a goal. You see, most of these early track goals are fairly standard. There are certain goals that are standard to every case. And the rest of the pattern is different. But certain of them, everybody has certain goals. You got goals about cause and goals about create. Those are common. You'll have a goal, something about a game or something like that. That'll be in common. And these are all awfully early track. These are along about 10th, 12th, 15th goals. See, they're way back. Yeah, I don't think a PC could live through one. I mean, if you just grabbed him by the hair of the head and said everybody has got the goal to create, all right. Let's find the top op term, creation, that fires. It's an interesting invitation to do so. The lecture I'm giving you, however, is about goals, not so much about running the bank. Now, the first thing you should know about finding a goal is that the goal you will find will be the one offered by its wording. That's the most likely goal is the one offered by its wording. And the less offerish a goal's wording is, the longer it's going to take you to find it. Now, we've gone previously on the basis that the goal to be hidden would be much harder to find, you see, than some other goal, and the easy goals to find were the neutral goals that didn't try to hide themselves and otherwise. But remember that, now this is a new datum to you, I could tell you a lot about this, in later days philosophers will philosophize on this subject. I can see tomes now that you can't see over being compiled and lectured over, you see. I can see it now, Harvard, the Harvard Study Group, you see. You've probably written some of his textbooks, you see. And they philosophize on subjects such as this, and let me just tell you that there's plenty there to philosophize on. 75%, that's a rough figure, but just to give you order of magnitude, 75% of the RIs are anti-self in a GPM, leaving somewhere between 15 and 25% of them beneficial from the goal. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? There's, in other words, there's just this little percentage. Guy postulates the goal, you see, to be such and so and so and so. And he makes this postulate, and this only carries him, and the beneficial, the items beneficial on it are less than 20. I can give you almost exactly the finite number of RIs, will be able to in another couple of days in any goal. It's a number that won't vary. But it's somewhere around the 80 to 100 area, closer to 80 than 100. Now, only the first few of these are driving the goal along toward success, and you might say self-beneficial. Only that few. Now, the remaining lot, all that tremendous column, which is only one-third of the terminals as you go up the line, two-thirds of those then are dead against it. That's the terminals. And then the whole of the op-term column is against it, all 40-plus of them. Isn't that interesting? That means that you could make this loose statement that three-quarters of the RIs are against the Thetan. And inhibit his livingness. And only about a quarter of them have any slightest possibility of assisting. And of course they don't assist either because they're fixations. Now, this tells you that if you were just running out somebody's goals so that you could free up his attention, you would be justified in freeing up his attention, but you might run into the interesting cross-argument, well, what's he going to do without his goals? Every once in a while, a Thetan thinks of it. Well, what's he going to do without his goals? What's he going to do without these 75% anti-self RIs? That's the question. Well, the answer is he's going to do, because he sure as the dickens hasn't been done in any other way than down. You see, quantitatively then, 75% of the RIs contained in the bank are against self and have nothing to do with assisting this goal, but only impeding the goal and the individual. Something for you to recognize. That's a fantastic different percentage. You'd say, well, 50% of them, it should be this way, you know? Aristotelian, there's just so much good in the world, and there's just so much bad in the world. And all things achieve a balance of the mean, you see? And if there are 50 devils, therefore there must be 50 angels, and all this sort of thing, you know? And all things come down to a mean. Emerson, you see. carrying on this philosophy, could explain to you how if you're going to have 5 days of bad weather, you, of course, are then going to have 5 days of good weather. You go out here and talk to anybody around Sussex about the weather, and they may sooner or later bring this on you. Well, we've had an awfully wet spring, so it should be a dry summer, you see. This is the idea of averages. Now, that idea of averages carries through into the normal view of one's own goals. That if it's done you some bad, it's done you some good, you see. And it was really all for the best in this best of all possible reactive minds, you see. This, you'd look at it, and possibly up to this instant, you yourself may have looked at it as a sort of a 50-50 proposition, you see. Well, those aren't the averages. This is something like the odds in a Las Vegas slot machine. In a yacht club one time, I had the job of ordering according to the board's dictates, got the small job of ordering some gaming devices and so forth for club members. And I was fascinated listening to this checker-suited tough mug who was giving me the lowdown on these here machines, see? Now, what do we want? What do we want? Did we want the 20% payoffs? See? Of course, you could fix it up so it was no payoff, too, see? There's little devices in the back of these machines so that can be adjusted so that they pay off on different percentages. And the average machine that you walk up to innocently and throw something in and pull a lever on is rigged for a 20% payoff. That's the law of averages, see? The reason the public plays them is they believe implicitly in the law of averages. They think 50% of the time you pull that handle, you should win. Actually, it's only 20%. Well, this view carries forward, instinctively rather, into a view of the reactive bank. If a fellow went to all this trouble to have a bank and so forth, it must be 50% good and 50% bad. And lo and behold, the actual figures, this isn't my opinion, the actual figures on the thing show that the payoff is very little bit better than the Las Vegas slot machine. You might have had a goal to be beautiful. Well, that means you've got something on the order, 20 or so, because those upper RIs really aren't very assistive. An exhausted beauty, you know, something like that. So you've got about 20 there that would give you the idea that you should be beautiful. Right? And that leaves 80 plus, somewhere between 60 and 80, that just determine that the last thing in the world you want to have anything to do with is being beautiful. That's the slot machine, the slot machine percentage. Now, undoubtedly, professors in times to come will tell the public this, or future scholars this, in very flowery language, and will deplore any comparison to crude devices and practices. But actually, there is no crude device or practice amongst man which is quite as rigged against man as the reactive bank. He's got a goal there to be bright. 20% of those RIs tell him to be bright in varying degree. Mostly a decline. And the remaining RIs making absolutely on the subject of anything bright or being bright or anything else. This is basically the overt act motivator sequence at work. Now, I'm investigating the early track to find out what's this regularity. That's made me very suspicious. Frankly, haven't learned too much in terms of the basic philosophy of Scientology and axioms and that sort of thing out of running goals and knew all these already. But I have discovered a few new things, and one of them, give you an idea, is quite important. If it weren't for this totally agreed upon overt motivator sequence, if it weren't for this, which is one of the fundamentals of the bank, and which gives us this overpowering anti-self percentage of our eyes, and if it weren't for the bank, which resulted from one's considerations of the overt motivator sequence, the process of living would be therapeutic. Now, the mystic has been saying that you have to do some living too. Every once in a while you find some Scientologist. He never quite got it out of the corner of his skull. He tells you, well, it's all right to be processed, but you've got to do some living too, you see. They say this, by the way, mostly after they've just met a pretty girl or something like that. Now, the only idea I've had that run into in running banks that suddenly reversed my concept of things on any point has been this general observation that I've looked this over, and it rather makes me pop-eyed. If it weren't for the bank and you wanted to feel better, you'd live a few days and you would feel better. Now, to some degree, a Thetan is always doing this. I touched on this at the Congress, but very, very lightly. Thetan's always doing this. Well, in a few days, he will the wound will heal, you see, and the bruise will go away. He counts on this, you see. Well, a thing that defeats it is the bank and the overt motivator sequence. This other computation is defeated by this. If you wanted to be clear, if you didn't have a bank, sounds very funny, I mean, all you'd have to do is live for a few years. This is quite remarkable. It's quite revelatory to me. It doesn't sound like much of a point, and as it stacks up against things like the axioms and factors and things like this, it isn't much of a point. But it's rather a surprise to me to find out that it is therapeutic to live in this universe. That comes to me as a terrific shock. Reverses my ideas entirely. In the absence of a bank, in the absence of all these GPMs, why, if you wanted to be bright, you would live a few years. And if you wanted to be brighter, you'd live a few more. See? If you wanted to be talented, you would live a few more years, and then you, real talented, you just live a few more years, you see. Sort of take it easy on the line, and you'd wind up better. Because the process of familiarization, as you know very well, is a highly therapeutic process. You get somebody running touch, reach and withdraw from a car, and he can drive the car better. Well, why doesn't this work in life? You add it up, you've seen it under your own hands as an auditor, that touch assist has banished some bruises and that sort of thing. Well, why doesn't this work in life? Well, the thing that keeps it from working in life is fundamentally the overt motivator sequence which underlies the bank and the existence of the bank. The fact that a bank has been built and maintained and added to works against just achieving higher levels of beingness in the process of livingness. And that is all that prevents it. And this is quite revelatory to me. You say this is not much of a point, and it's true enough, it isn't much of a point. It's one of these elementary things. It doesn't change around the basic concepts of Scientology any. But it does this. It does this. It puts a different complexion on this universe. And it puts a different complexion on what you might care to do. And it puts a different complexion on your future for the next 200 trillion. This changes that. Your concept that the only thing you could do is get to a point where you could get totally out of this universe, or something like that, if you had such a concept, the only way you could ever win is to just get away from all this mess and space and so forth. Those concepts are apparently invalid, which is a very hopeful, happy note. I feel like a certain Pollyanna idiocy taking over, you see. The thing to do after you've been cleared is live. Where? Here. Why? Because it's therapeutic. Marvelous. Now, of course, the technology with which you were dealing, from a standpoint of processing, has not existed before. The laws, or the put-togethers, or anatomies of things, have been existing through the trillennia. These things as they are, don't you see? What is the composition of a time track? What is the behavior of an engram? What is the human behavior factor? Given certain stimuli, what response will you get? All of this data is invariable. What are the laws of beingness as you find them in the factors and you find them in the axioms? These things are strictly inconcrete, although they have not been known. Although they have not been known. In general, they have been adhered to, and they are, in that relative sense, they are truth. They are the true things which have existed back of human behavior, reaction, livingness, beingness, all of these other factors. Now, what you are handling that is new and that hasn't existed in the universe before is the know-how of handling this material, the know-how of knowing and handling this material, the know-how of handling another thetan, the know-how of putting together a bank, the know-how of running an assist, things like the auditor's code and that sort of thing. These are new. Now, people in their confusion, of course, saying, well, when Ron dreamed up all these factors and so forth, when he dreamed up those basic axioms, it was mighty wicked of him to do that. So see. Well, it's all very well for me to say, well, I didn't dream those up. I didn't. I was there amongst you, but you had your share, man. I distinctly remember when the vote was taken, I distinctly remember your loud, clear eye. Shall there be a general agreement on the subject of the overt motivators? I remember your eye clearly was shattering. Well, those basic laws we have had to dig up all the way along the line, but they are dug up. Now you should look at the other side of the fence. What has been invented in Scientology? What has actually been originated? What have I originated? And so forth. And that's your technical handling of the materials which have been discovered. An auditing session. The handling of the pre-clear. The this and that. You're entered in a new track there. And it, frankly, only to some degree is restimulative because it'll bing in on somebody's goals. Somebody's goals will get in his road one way or the other in auditing. Seldom assistive because of this 2080. Even if the goal, you see, was to audit PCs, then you'd have 80 items, you see, that would say, these damn PCs can't be audited, and it'll kill me. So, therefore, these things do not assist when they're in place. Of course, when they're pulled up, you've got all the experiential track available, and they suddenly are of tremendous value. Gone, they're valuable. Here, they're nothing. All in place, they're nothing. So, auditing a PC is something you're doing that is not a former action. And therefore should be clean, clear, and learnable. And the more you work at it, regardless of the aberrations of the bank, why, the better you ought to get at it. And when you get a bank gone, or two or six or ten, all slicked up, there'll be just nothing in your road at all. There's very little standing in your road of auditing a PC, except a piece of bank here and there, a rock slam on something or other that's locked onto the top of the bank. But these things all can be overcome. You recognize that everything that has been done in Scientology has been done in spite of the bank, you see. It's just been done on the basis of, well, hell, it can be done. There's no reason to be aberrated, and there's no reason to react to it. Somehow or another, with the scruff of the neck, why, you pull yourself out of the... Well, you find yourself unreasonably angry about something or other, and you start nipping and snarling around about one way or the other. Grab yourself with the scruff of the neck and say, well, even though I don't know what might be biting me, this is certainly aberrated conduct, and do otherwise. Now, in auditing, you get a consistent hammer and pound in routine 3 and routine 2 now of your own bank as an auditor, because you're handling the bank materials to which you have to be risen superior all the time you were handling them. Well, that takes some doing. You understand what I mean, don't you? You see? You're handling and restimulating the very materials which you must rise superior to. And the only thing I can point out to you along that particular line is it's been done. It can be done. And it's done more often than you think. It's Mary Sue and I are having a bad time on some of this bank plotting. If you think it's easy to sit in the middle of a bank and not knowing its pattern, it's already too crushing to have much to do with, and not just find the item that fires, but then list enough additional items to cross-check to make sure that the RI has been knocked out. You see, on the basis that you won't get another item on that subject firing, or with similar wording firing, if you've got the RI in the middle of the cluster that I showed you the other day. And you won't either. So you not only have to find the RI, but you have to make sure there isn't any other RI in that position. And that causes more listing. And there's, you've already got your item. And things are going creak and falling apart, and your skull starting to slip along the center cleavage of it, don't you think? The mass is already too tight because you've missed a whole band above this. You don't know why. And now somebody says you have to list a few more. You're just about feeling relieved as to having gotten rid of that one. You see, you have to tackle again, something like that. Or there's a little more charge here, or something like this, you know. And cross-checking while getting better. Well, of course, tempers can get rather sharp under these circumstances. ARC breaks can become quite exclamatory. And auditor blows and PC blows and so forth could very easily be reached under these circumstances. And things were going worse to worse by Tuesday night. They were getting pretty rough. Things were pretty rough. Everything was going by the board. So she and I took a look at each other and straightened it all out and so forth. And it was got it all sailing again. Not because we'd audited anything out, don't you see? Because we said, well, hell, it's just bank, you know? Let's get the show on the road. Get the idea. Don't think, then, what you're going through is uncommon. Well, it's peculiar. I would say this. The only reprehensible thing, it is not reprehensible to have ARC breaks. It's not reprehensible to miss somebody's goals, to get re-stimulated to do this, to do that, something or other. Have ARC breaks and blow for 24 hours and lie quietly in the shrubbery sobbing, knowing you will be dead any day now. Knowing it's all gone too far and that nobody is ever going to help you and Ron was wrong, you know, all this kind of thing. Sad, sad, sad. The only thing reprehensible is not doing that, but when you have done it, picking yourself up by the scruff of the neck sooner or later in that period and putting yourself back on the rails again, knowing that you can rise superior to it and surmount it. That's the only thing that's reprehensible, is not doing that sooner or later. Blow, explode, and break up all the furniture, see? But that's all very well. But if in a week or so, at the absolute outside, you haven't gotten yourself by the scruff of the neck, just realize you're not rising superior to your bank. And the only thing that got us where we are is just rising superior. Without even any Thetan bootstraps to grab hold of, see? It's quite important to know that. Because the road is stony. And goals, being an entrance point, can get very thoroughly in one's way. Now, the goal you think you're going to find on the PC, reverting to this now, the goal you think you're going to find on the PC would be a neutral goal, right? It would be this, the lying there. Actually, that is the hardest goal to find. The length of time it takes you to find a goal on a PC is monitored by two things. First and foremost is the degree he is not rising superior to his bank. Now, that first is a very embracive statement. It looks like a small statement when you first look at it, but it's a very, very broad statement. He's not rising superior to his bank. Now, let's take the full gradient of this. The full gradient. A person who has a goal that has the capability of driving him mad, if not risen superior to, would bring about madness, correct? So the bird down in the loony bin, the spin bin, who is mad, has not risen superior to his bank. You understand? Now, it's the degree of charge and the significance is what makes a bank hard to handle. first and foremost, degree of charge on the bank. That's primary. And then the significance of what the bank consists of is secondary. Those are the two points. Those are two sub-points, not the two points I just mentioned a moment ago. You see, that's what keeps a person from rising superior to his bank. That's A and B under point one. I want to repeat that because it sounds terribly, terribly simple, and you're liable to bypass it and say, oh, yes, of course. But this means a great deal to you as an auditor. It's the amount of charge. By what do we characterize as charge? Well, it's actually electrical thought impulses. And there can be an erg's worth or a kilowatt worth, don't you see? It's measurable. You measure it on your meter all the time. You know, what do we got? 120 volts going through the power lines or 250 volts? All right, well, that's just quantity of flow. But is there enough power coming through that line to light a 1,500-watt lamp or only enough to light a flashlight? In such general terms, we are speaking of charge. Lots of power and force or little power and force. See? And that's primary, and the other one is significance. Now, confound you, don't get those reversed. Don't get those two importances reversed. Because if you do, you'll have been be continuing a mistake which we have been making for a number of years. We were giving charge secondary importance and giving significance primary importance. Fellow had a goal, see? Fellow had the goal to spit. All right, another fellow had a goal to spit. One spat all the time and the other didn't spit at all. You say, well, he's in different parts of the bank. No, no, no. The fellow who isn't spitting, not necessarily in a different part of the bank, but that goal may not be very heavily charged. See, the restimulative locks and the overts he's committed and so forth all might be insufficient to hold tremendous quantities of charge there. Now, secondarily, one of them just doesn't spit, and we can assume the fact that he just doesn't, you see. The fact he has a goal to spit and he's running the negative op terms, we can say that. But he's not worried about it either. And the other one has a goal to spit, and he just spits all the time, and there we are, and so forth, and nothing can stop him of it. And he's been to the Mayo Clinic to have his spitter repaired and so forth. You know, they've done practically everything for him they could. That's a difference of charge. See? One's got a very charged up goal, and the other, same goal, see, and it's not very charged up. All right. Now, significance is secondary, but still important. Still important. It's very much in the running. Now, this becomes important to you from a number of ways. If you can discharge a bank, no matter how, then the dramatization of the bank will drop. If you just take the significance out of the bank without removing the charge, the dramatization will continue. Therefore, you're going to be very puzzled someday. You're going to see somebody that some HAS has run a full bank on, and this is the bank to fly. And he's run this full bank, and yet the person talks about flying all the time and flaps his wings and tells everybody he has a goal, you know. I have a goal, you know, to fly. That's my goal, you know. It's my goal. He's flapping his arms all the time and running up and down the street. That's why I do this, you know. Well, that isn't why he does this. The other hidden part of the thing is it's very heavily charged, so that his effort not to do it inflicts considerable pain and pressure upon him. The bank contains a self-punishing mechanism. And when he doesn't obey the bank and its dictates, then he gets pain and he gets all kinds of spinniness and sin and he gets sick. And the way not to get any of these things, he hopes, is to run up and down the street and flap his arms. In other words, this Satan is protecting his body and beingness from the amount of pain, shock, pressure, incident to that bank. And if he disobeys these RIs, he goes up against the shock and pressure. And if he sort of tries to go along with it, it doesn't drop on his head. Do you see? See that? Now, some people, this was a very early thing. I was telling Susie last night, this was Academy material of 1951, Wichita. There are two things that a Thetan can do with an engram. And one of them is dramatize it in full, and the others get sick from it. I hadn't connected the two things up thoroughly, see? Yet I could see sort of that if he didn't dramatize it, he'd get sick from it. So the actual taught statement was, is engrams have either mental or physical compulsion. And some engrams have a physical compulsion, and the same engram in somebody else will have a mental compulsion. And thus you have some odd difference, Thetan to Thetan. Well, actually, you don't necessarily have an odd difference, Thetan to Thetan, but you certainly got a difference in the charge. In other words, the same engram, heavily charged, causes a person to be physically ill. Which in somebody else would cause him to dramatize only. See? He doesn't become ill from it or even hurt from it. He simply dramatizes because of it. Now, it is a basic difference in the being. The being is unwilling to face, confront, or stand up to that much charge. He feels overwhelmed by it. And feeling overwhelmed by it, therefore obeys it. And therefore you get a mental dramatization. So, you can either be sick or crazy. Wide choice. Fortunately, there is a third, which is rise superior to it. Now, oddly enough, you can rise superior. It isn't all mechanical the way the scientists would love you to think. You can rise superior to almost any quantity of charge if your intention to rise superior to it is has as much charge on it as the charge you're facing. You got it? And you don't have to dramatize it mentally or suffer from it physically, particularly, but it's certain that in the process of rising superior to it, because you were bucking against it, there's going to be a certain amount of physical reaction. See, you might escape the mental reaction totally, but the physical reaction you probably could never, as long as you got a body and so forth, never get totally away from. You'd say, all right, I've just got this idea that I've got to walk down the street sedately. For hell with it, I'm not going to go on walking sedately down the street. You've noticed that you're always being sedate and walking down the street. Notice this about yourself. Well, you've got some kind of an item, see? It's not necessarily as fundamental as a goal. You can actually a sedate walker or something on the gold walk, you think? And you say, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to walk any way I please. And after you've gone 15 or 20 paces, you've got an awful pain in your side, and you wonder where that came from. You say, well, I must be walking too fast, or I'm just getting short of air. No, no, you've refuted, you see, the dictates of that RI, and it starts to key in physically because you're exciting and protesting against the charge of it. The reason the bank comes into action then is basically the 18 buttons are being disobeyed in the physical universe. In other words, that's picked true of the whole reactive bank, is the 18 buttons. It's not much more than the 18. There are a lot of nuances and so forth, but you could practically clean one with these. The 18 buttons are being dismayed. See? You're invalidating, you know, suppressing, protesting the items that are connected with the bank, you see. And those things then being pushed back out of sight and so forth, various physical and mental reactions occur. Now the PC, this is less, could be more tightly connected to the study goals, but I just want to give you an idea exactly what you were looking at there, you see. Your next consideration, then, recognizing that somebody can rise superior to charge, is recognize that nobody in a black sphere ever sees the outside of it. If he's in it, he never sees the outside of it. It really isn't necessary for him to crawl out of this black sphere to know he is in it, however. But the goal you want is the one the PC is in, which therefore is capable of exerting against him the most charge. And is therefore capable of making him dramatize it to the degree that he dramatizes it. And your best trick, and hear me now, your best trick in goal finding is to attain and maintain a high state of morale in the PC during the finding of goals in such a wise he can rise superior to his bank. Now, the number of goals which you have seen RR on an upset, chopped up, can't never find my goal type PC are exactly nil. It isn't the PC is incapable of RRing, but the PC, you could almost go over the top of his goal. In fact, we read it straight into his teeth. He hasn't ever collided with us yet without getting any much, very much needle activation. His reality is too low on it. If he goes up against this goal, if he ceases to dramatize it mentally or physically in any way, he's going to get a kickback from it. So he plays it safe. He doesn't rise superior to his bank. And reading that goal. Nothing to do with me. It will, however, fortunately, tick. It never gets quite all the way out. It'll tick. What a microscopic tick sometimes. Sometimes you get a clang and then a tick, and then it disappears, and you can't make it read. But because it did something peculiar, you keep your interest on the thing, and you start putting in your big midroods. Now what are you doing? These contain the buttons which, going out in life, create a bank. So running these things out on the subject of that goal permits the person to rise superior to it, even fleetingly enough, to get a reality on it and make it read. Now, if you understand that, You will see why you have to do what you have to do in order to find a goal, and you could actually predict how a goal will work or run under your hands as an auditor. It's a creepy thing because you know that if you were just to get it on a long list and read the list in a very disinterested tone of voice with the PC not interested in it and nothing much interested any place, anyhow, and no session in progress, the PC not being assisted by you as the auditor to hold his head up and so forth about existence, and he had no reality on it doing anything for him anyhow, you know, and this, you could read it right on down the list. You'd probably go right on over the top of it, and nothing had happened, and it never react. Oddly enough, a little bit later, maybe a minute, maybe a page, PC starts to get nasty. But you could say, possibly, he could be so unreal on the subject that he wouldn't even have an AIC break. So you can't count on that either. It's a good indicator, but it's not a perfect one. So what state do you find this goal in? Based on the remarks I've been making today. What state is this goal in? It's quite interesting that you can find one at all. Because it is the least confronted, the most dramatized point in the present time era. But fortunately, it's also the most charged. And maybe the PC is so overwhelmed that he doesn't react much, but you can sometimes see the goal go like you're letting the air out of a tire. Sometimes you can find a goal that isn't ready to be run. It's an earlier track goal, it's pulled up toward present time, not ready to be run at all. It's not on the PC's goal channel, don't you see? And you hit the thing, and the PC sort of cognites on it, and the air goes out of the tire, and the PC feels much better, and the tone arm action goes down, and everything is fine, but now you can't make the goal fire. That's fairly common. It's terribly beneficial, because it's opened the track and improved the PC's reality. You let the charge of the thing off, like letting the air out of a balloon. And it probably had the line blocked and the PC's confront blocked. It wasn't the goal, but you were likely to find the goal soon afterwards. You might have 2, 3, 4 of these things, even 5 of them, in the process of looking for a PC's goal. In other words, charge then also can apply to the solid goals line. Let's just consider a list of 20 goals that the PC has got, 20 banks or something like that, and let's handle this as a bank. And it has only the significance of goals, and just neglect the RIs entirely, just forget what's under all these things, and just treat him as a concatenation of goals, unless you let some charge off the subject of goals. You're not going to find a goal. So once again, charge goes down, and then the significance can emerge. Because charge can totally mask significance, and it's practically the only thing that does mask it. Although significance tells the PC how to be aberrated, it is charge and his inability to rise superior to it that caused him to act aberratedly or suffer physically from having a bank. So you see, you can actually go up and down the parade of PC's goals lists, every once in a while hit one of the goals on these channels or some lock goal on top of that goal. Well, let's say it's a goal to catch catfish, and he's given you the goal to bait fish hooks. And this to bait fish hooks is a goal of one of the RIs, you know, and it goes, see, something like that. You get a nice blow down. It all looks pretty. It all looks very nice. All beautiful. How interesting. But wasn't he dull? You can't make it read after that. If it reads for a while with a rocket read and continues to read and won't ever go out and keeps coming in and going out, and you just can't ever get rid of the thing, it's probably his goal. You should certainly test for top-op term and that sort of thing on it. You can't get rid of it forever. You can't find his goal. But normally, the whole subject of goals will release some charge. Then looking for any old goal, if you do it well as an auditor, holding up the PC's morale so they can rise superior to his bank, will release charge and therefore permit significance to be viewed or confronted. And then getting goals of a particular kind will bleed some more charge off the bank. And all of a sudden you're sitting there looking at the PC's goal. How long does it take you to accomplish these actions? You possibly look on the finding of goals as a matter of luck. Well, after my experience in this line, I find out I have been more spoiled by luck than assisted by it. I found quite a few goals in 15 minutes on PC. Leaves you in this kind of a frame of mind. What the hell is wrong with auditors that they can't find these goals, see? I got my comeuppance. Took me 2 years to find one goal. Pretty good. Try to get down and study this subject. What's this subject all about? Fortunately, it took me 2 years to find it because I did make the study then. I got quite interested in it. Eventually, toward the end of that period of time, was sufficiently informed on the subject so that if I had to find that person's goal again, it would probably only take me 25, 50 hours. And what's all this about? Well, the PC is not out here someplace, 4 or 5 feet away, looking at this point, which is his goal, and just won't give it to you. That is not the PC's situation or position. The PC is in the middle of this goal. Being this goal is this goal. And the last thing he could look at is himself. The old philosophers used to say, physician, heal thyself, know thyself, all this sort of thing. And obviously, the last thing you could see was yourself. Well, even with the help of mirrors, it's sometimes difficult. So you're actually not finding a goal as your best statement of what you're doing. You're actually discharging a bank on the subject of goals and improving the confront of the PC until he can recognize what goal he is sitting in with your assistance. Then you find the PC's goal. And that's how you find goals. Now, the assistive character of a goal causes it to present itself. The goal which is hidden causes it to present itself. To hide, you see. Well, it's got all these op terms that tell it to present itself. They actually are the easiest goals to find. They're the ones that pop up at once. Well, they've got 80 RIs that say they should be found, you see. They say they should not be hidden. And they only got 20 that said they should hide. A little more difficult goal to find is one which says, find me, because it's only got 20 saying, find me, and it's got 80 saying, things that get found are no damned good. So, your neutral goal, however, your neutral goal is the hardest one to find. It doesn't get blown into view by any of its significance. It is as heavily charged, but it's usually quite abstruse compared to the PC's behavior. You'll swear this PC has a goal to ride horses, see? You'll just swear that the PC must have such a goal, because the PC just talks all the time about horses. Can't get off the subject of horses, can't get off of horses. Hates horses, gets walked over by horses, see for? Oh, man, you say, well, what's about horses here? What's about horses? Something about horses. Animals must be a fifth dynamic goal. You figure yourself wild, you see? You'll eventually find out, when you do find it, why you will say, well, I'll be a son of a gun, you see? You'll say, one day say, well, what was all that about horses? And all of a sudden you'll cognize. But it'll be something like, to never go any place. The way the guy is executing his goal is to be fond of horses. You know, death on cars. Death on airplanes, you know. Telling everybody old methods of transport are best. See? That's just a method of never going any place. But it'll be... So trying to track a goal down by the significance of the bank is one of the most thankless activities you can engage upon. By all means, engage upon it. But just recognize that it is a thankless activity. It's lots of fun. It's like playing charades or something. But always be prepared to be knocked off your pins on how far you were out. You're never dead on. It'll be something which is as wide as to never go any place and to ride horses. It's quite wide, you see. And you just never would guess it. And the auditor that thinks goal finding consists of a large series of guesses and is a guessing game, and that he will find the goal if he is lucky, and won't find the goal if he isn't lucky, you understand, misunderstands to a degree what he is doing. But because these other things are so attractive, the significance of it all is so attractive, because of these other odd bits into the situation, the PC's talk, you see, the PC's dramatizing, the PC's this, the PC's that. You start following down, look at these 212 lists, and you find out he just says nothing but children, 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 children on the 212 list. What if this PC doesn't have a goal to have children? He's supposed to be a child. You finally find out the PC has a goal to like new things. It's just way out, and always. And you just never would guess it, because the PC is the least possible assistance. You recognize then that the significance channel is limited to simply giving him the significance of items to list goals from, so as to bring him in close, and the significance of items which occur on lists to list goals from, and the significance of listing questions, like the most non-survival goal you can think of, you see, list selected. Very assistive list questions can be used and so forth. Trying to guess the PC's goal, however, is a very thankless task and very time-wasting and very exasperating. The auditor is liable to become extremely exasperated trying this. He should recognize that these two things monitor whether or not you get the goal. It's the charge on the thing, and the PC getting the charge off or rising superior to it. See, he's got to rise superior to this charge, or you've got to take some of the charge off. And actually, you do both. You do both. It makes a great deal of difference for a PC to find out where he's located in the bank. Even though he's located too early in the bank, you very often will find that you have to walk a PC forward to present time just as fast as you can get him there through the banks. You don't dare go back. You don't dare go earlier. Don't go into any earlier banks, because he's already handling one that's too much for him. If he actually is handling a bank that is far too much for him, it is better for you to do the goal opposed list and move into an earlier bank before you do anything more. You can actually move a PC up and down his goals channel by doing goal opposed. What goal would oppose? Lists, you see. What goal would you found the goal to ride horses? What goal would oppose to ride horses? And you move him right up into his next bank. But there's more error for the next goal when you do that, and it's easier to do it with the charge off. So your first choice is to handle the goal that you got your hands on. But if it's just obviously impossible for him to handle this goal, you just can't make it any way, shape, or form, don't struggle around with it. Move him up the bank ways. Recognize that the goal you got was the one which was most offerable or unofferable according to its wording, not because it was closest to present time. And therefore, you will move him forward, and you very well may find that you were looking for an inert goal. It doesn't offer itself. It doesn't refuse to offer itself. So therefore, there it is, you see. It'll be some kind of an inert goal of some kind or another, which is to be happy. There's an absolute killer to try to find that goal is around, but it just sort of never turns up. Now, when you find a goal, which is a neutral goal, you want to kind of pat yourself on the back because it was found by taking charge off and by being a good auditor, not because the goal walked up and said, "Hey, hey, hey, here I am, here, here, here." Oh, to be here. All right, there you are. That's the way you find goals. Any PC that doesn't put his goal immediately on the list is either bucking an auditor who isn't raising his morale, or he's just so charged up in all directions it's almost impossible to do anything for him. The speed with which a PC's goal is found then is monitored by the amount of charge, the significance, and the degree that the auditor can raise his morale and discharge the general charge off the subject of goals. And he finds these. That's the way you find goals. The fast way to find goals is not by a magic significance, but by very smooth, cleverness must not be gainsaid, smooth, clever auditing that keeps the PC winning all the time on the subject of goals, raising his morale, getting him to confront them, getting charge off that goals bank, finding on little short lists of a page or two a goal that'll blow the toad arm down, and then finding another one that will, and so forth. He goes on, he removes charge, and all of a sudden, as the PC's morale is coming up, why, all of a sudden the PC said, "Heh, what do you know? What do you know? Here's a goal. I've been sitting right here. It's to be here. Here it is. Fine. Great. You got the goal." That's what goal finding consists of, and is monitored by the character of the bank. Goals ride over as a layer over the whole of the GPM. And the subject of goals then lies as a layer over the whole of the reactive bank. And you can stick little pins in it here or there and get the charge off. and get the PC alert and get him seeing things better and hold him up and carry him forward. And the next thing you know, you got the PC's goal. It's not because you guessed it. It's not because you guessed it. We can't rule out luck entirely, but so far as possible is you should just neglect it as a factor. Because you'll find that PC's goal to the degree that you get the charge off, get the PC to confront the bank, and as you are assisted in the significance of the goal, and of course, as you hold the PC's morale up and keep him confronting and keep him happy about it and not frantically looking, oh my goodness, what are my goal? What's my goal? What's my goal? Oh, I'll just die if I don't have my goal by tomorrow. Some auditors, well, I haven't gotten your goal yet. What's the matter with you? Why haven't you put your goal on the list? So forth. You realize you're making me look bad, you know? Everybody's looking at us hour after hour, month after month. No goal. What's the matter with you? That's not the way to find the PC's goal, because it violates the morale factor and it doesn't get the charge off. It just caves the PC in further. Thing to do is cheer him up about how much progress we're making with his state of case and how much better he looks now that we've been over a few goals lists. Keep leading him. Next thing you know, bang, there's his goal to be here. Okay? Thank you very much. Good night.